Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Point West.
Point West here, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. We are speaking today of the Obama deception, and as soon as we get it queued up, you'll be able to hear the next hour of the Obama deception. Make sure that you check it out. Don't just believe just what's being said. Check it out to see if it's true. You may have some information that's not true. But all this here on Point West, exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. And we will do our regular breaks in between so they can give a chance to get together there. But, yeah, you need to consider the information. And as soon as we get it queued up, we will go right in to the last portion of the tape that we have here playing about the Obama deception. Here we go.
The Patriot Act and more government wiretapping.
Candidate Obama told desperate factory workers in speech after speech that he was going to renegotiate NAFTA and GATT to make it more fair for American workers.
It is absolutely true that NAFTA was a mistake.
But then his campaign was caught sending out memos to top corporate leaders telling them not to worry and that it was just campaign rhetoric.
We had Obama saying, you know, I'm against free trade. I don't like NAFTA and all those free trade sellouts. We had Austin Goolsbee going to the Canadian diplomats and saying, don't mind him. He's just popping off. That's just election era rhetoric. Doesn't mean anything.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama was publicly criticizing the North American Free Trade Agreement in a bid for votes, but privately telling Canadian officials not to worry about it.
He said that he was going to bring us peace in the Middle East. He said that he was going to bring us transparency and a balanced economy. He said that he was going to not have lobbyists. He said he was going to clean up government. He said he was going to work for the environment. And point by point by point, within the first month of his inauguration, he has lied and deceived and cheated the American people.
The people of the United States and the world were filled with hope that Obama was the real deal when in his first week in office he signed an executive order supposedly closing Guantanamo Bay and other secret prisons. Then the press actually had a chance to read the executive order and were shocked to find that the executive order only said that Obama was thinking about closing Guantanamo in a year. But worst of all, the executive order continued the practice of rendition, which the LA Times called secret abductions.
They don't know. They think that he's signed off immediately on closing Guantanamo, but he's allowing prisoners now to be taken to foreign countries and not knowing where they're sending them and to be tortured in foreign countries. They don't know that they kept that provision in there.
Obama is now continuing the practice of secret arrest, secret prisons, and most importantly, indefinite detention without trial. When a British High Court said that it was preparing to release secret British and U.S. torture orders that prove that the Bush administration was ordering personnel to systematically abuse detainees, Barack Obama threatened to cut off all U.S. intelligence ties to England. To add insult to injury, he stated that the program was important to national security, not only endorsing Bush's crimes, but continuing them.
Obama voted for a reinstatement of the Patriot Act. And by his early deeds already, again, as we saw with the issues of retention, he's willing to send people that have been charged with nothing to be tortured to so-called get the truth out of them.
If the makers of this film attempted to cover all of Obama's lies, this documentary would never be released because there are new ones every day. So in the interest of time, we're going to cover one more big one. Barack and his handlers made the cornerstone of his campaign, keeping lobbyists and donors out of his administration. Within hours of being elected, Obama did a 180 and filled the White House and federal government with lobbyists and donors at all levels. Obama picked William Lynn, the top lobbyist for Raytheon, to fill the number two position at the Department of Defense. Timothy Geithner, former president of the Private Federal Reserve Bank of New York, was picked by Obama to be Secretary of the Treasury. Geithner promptly crammed the Treasury Department full of lobbyists, like his chief of staff, Mark Patterson, formerly the top lobbyist at Goldman Sachs. Obama appointed top lobbyist to the Saudi royal family, George Mitchell, as the lead Middle Eastern envoy. Obama appointed the king of Wall Street lobbyists, Leon Panetta, to head up the CIA. Obama tapped Tom Daschle, top lobbyist for healthcare firms, to run the Department of Health and Human Services, and the list goes on and on. Then, 3 weeks into his administration, Obama launched a new lie, more outrageous than the previous. With Academy Award-level conviction, he said that he was upset about the banker bailout, which his own chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, another former Wall Street executive, had engineered. Obama said that he had signed an executive order capping the CEO salaries of those who had taken the bailout money. There was just two problems. All the major banks and brokerage firms were exempt, and the new order only dealt with any future bailouts. And those were to be on the honor system.
What gets people upset, and rightfully so, are executives being rewarded for failure.
AIG, Bank of America, and Citigroup, which have received billions in bailout money, don't fall under this plan. Only banks negotiating future agreements with the government will be restricted. But this appears to be built on an honor system, and White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs had a hard time explaining how enforcement would work.
Well, I will get clarification from Treasury on that.
Generally speaking, this is already the biggest liar and the biggest disappointment that we've seen in recent history. And again, qualitatively beyond the rather low standards set by Bush the Elder and Clinton in terms of delivering on promises.
Bottom line, Obama is a fantastic actor and an even better liar. His track record is clear. He has done the opposite of everything he told the people he would do.
They'll make up one lie after another. And if you believe these people, knock yourself out. I don't believe a word they say.
Within 1 month of the passage of the first banker bailout bill, the press reported that over $5 trillion had just disappeared out of the U.S. Treasury. By December, the amount of money that had been stolen had reached $8.5 trillion. The leadership of both political parties circled the wagons and would not discuss where the money had gone.
In the Fed! In the Fed! In the Fed! In the Fed!
Informed Americans protested the private Federal Reserve system at all 38 of their regional governorship offices.
Arrest Bernanke and Paulson! Arrest all the criminals that stole the banker bailout money!
It was refreshing to see people standing up against the real power structure, not being distracted by the elite's frontmen like George W. Bush and Barack Obama. We traveled to Dallas, Texas to cover We the People taking on the real enemy.
Hey, I want to talk to the workers up there on the parapet, the ones smoking cigarettes that just jumped back. You're with the American people, we know that, but understand, ask the workers inside. You're not in a federal government building. You're in a private Federal Reserve that uses that name as a fraud. That'd be like if my first name was Federal Reserve Jones. I'm still not the federal government. I'm not a federal agency. But if I said my name was Federal Reserve, I could go out and pay off politicians and get them to allow me to get into power so I could issue the currency and credit, and then I could buy up the world. That's what these criminals have done.
A lot of people think that the Federal Reserve is already part of the government. They're not. It's controlled by cliques of unelected, unaccountable bankers meeting in secret. Most of these people have never even been through the formality of a Senate hearing or a Senate confirmation. They claim that they're part of the U.S. Government. They masquerade as if they were part of the U.S. government. But in reality, this is a purely private operation. Jackals, hyenas, raptors, all of them loyal, not to the American people, but to the Wall Street banks, which is where most of them come from.
Everyone is pointing to Barack right now, President Obama, as saying, you got to get the economy together. You got to get the economy together. When in fact, the president has very little to do with the economy. It's the Federal Reserve chairman that at least sets the policy. That's a privately owned company, the Federal Reserve Bank. They set the agenda.
These guys are masquerading as a federal institution. They are a private banking consortium, and this is their front, their holding company. The Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a front for a private banking cartel. That's on record congressional testimony, and they're the ones orchestrating the economic collapse we're seeing right now, so that's why we're here.
While at the In the Fed rally outside the Federal Reserve Bank in Dallas, Texas, we spoke with Ron Paul's brother, Wayne Paul.
1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. Floor of the House, where three members of Congress were on the floor. At that time, they only needed a majority of votes to pass it. So in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. 20 years later, 1933, under Roosevelt, the United States was declared bankrupt. And in 1933, the Federal Reserve private bank says, okay, USA, what are you going to pledge as collateral on the debt you owe me? What happened by 1936? Does anybody know? We instituted Social Security system, and you and I and our children's children were pledged as collateral on the debt of our government to the Federal Reserve. And that's where we're at today. It took 20 years to make this country bankrupt, and since then, our government has operated under emergency powers of our government. It is not the president that makes the decision in this country. It's the Secretary of Treasury who turns around and is put in there by the Federal Reserve to manage the bankruptcy. We've been in bankruptcy ever since. So to print $700 billion and to give it away, how do they get away with it? The manager of the bankruptcy is told by the Federal Reserve this is the way to go. That's where we're at today.
Yes, we should point out, Congressman Ron Paul now has a huge amount of sponsors for a bill in the House of Representatives to abolish the private Federal Reserve crime syndicate.
In 1913, the money power of the country was taken away from the people. By constitutional privilege, it belongs with the Congress, but it was given up in the Federal Reserve Act. The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express, but yet it has the power to determine the direction of use of money in our economy. If we could take that power back and put the Federal Reserve under Treasury, we start to be in a position of being able to control monetary policy on behalf of the United States people.
The Federal Reserve is totally private, and Alan Greenspan 2 weeks ago on PBS on Lair News Hour said on record that they are above the law, the Congress, the President, everyone. No court can do anything. We run America.
What is the proper relationship, what should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't don't frankly matter.
Notice what Greenspan is saying. Greenspan is saying the Federal Reserve is beyond the law. And in reality, they are in practice beyond the law. Nobody, as far as I know, has ever audited the Federal Reserve. One of the first things we ought to do when we nationalize the Fed is go in there and find out the audit. Who stole money? Who engaged in corruption? There's a whole series of people going back to Volcker, to Greenspan, to Bernanke, and so forth.
Think of the arrogance of a private group of banks that have bankrupted the nation by design so they can repo the country. A private group of banks that loaned us our own money back are telling us they're above the law.
You're listening to The Obama Deception, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, Point West.
Since the founding of the Federal Reserve back under Woodrow Wilson, the Federal Reserve has struck out three times. They didn't stop the crash of 1929. They didn't stop the banking panic of 1932, 1933. And now they are the cause of the derivatives crisis because they're the ones who inflicted derivatives on the world with Alan Greenspan.
Instead of our economy being about goods and services and real products and manufacturing, it's all about these guys, the private Federal Reserve that masquerades as a government entity who controls the issuance of currency and credit. They're the ones that have cut off the liquidity in the market. They told us have a debt-based economy. Then they cut it off once they get us under their thumb and implode the economy so they can consolidate it. And that's what they're doing right now. I mean, it's in their own documents. It's in their own statements. They claim, give us unlimited power. Give us trillions of dollars with the banker bailout bill that's already $5 trillion, not $850 billion, as they say. And we'll get the economy going, but they're hoarding the money and buying up other banks that aren't part of the Federal Reserve, buying up insurance companies, buying up roads, infrastructures, media empires, defense contractors. What the banks do is they implode an economy by cutting off credit, and then once things really fall to a low, and they know the low because then they buy everything up and start then putting more money back into the economy, and then they build it back up. So they build us up and then shear us, build us up and shear us, and they're getting ready. All over the world, they're always shearing some country, imploding it. Comes out in their own IMF and World Bank documents. That's just the foreign arm of the same cartel.
And these are the people who claim to be the saviors of the economy, the people who have created every important crisis in the past 100 years, the Federal Reserve. So it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, and it's a failure. And I think the failure is what everybody can see right now.
Yeah, what they do is that they make you think Clinton's evil in running things, and then, oh, Bush will save us, and then, oh, Bush was evil, now we'll be saved by Barack Obama, but he's just a puppet. But as we get deeper into this phase, when they implode the economy, they have all the money and all the control, but they also like to pose as the savior. So Obama is meant to be the savior during the Depression, and he'll save us with a million person, he said, is bigger than our military, domestic spy force, a 3 million person environmental spy force. So giving people these jobs to be government bureaucrats and spies to go out and manage the other 290 something million Americans. And so this is classical fascism. The communists also do it. Any vertically integrated command and control authoritarian system does this. So they're openly following what the same group of banks did in Germany, Russia. You know, it's in the Communist Manifesto to have a private central bank, because the private central bankers actually wrote the ideas that they had Marx and Engels put out. People go, well, why would the banks want communism? It doesn't exist. They rape us, they consolidate us, they put us into work brigades, they make us slaves, and they say it's a people's paradise. Look at it, boy, you're really doing good. And then they transfer all the wealth of the nation offshore. The globalists are outside all the nations. That gives them safety, and they play countries off against each other. And so that's what we're facing and dealing with. And so they're bringing in classical, hardcore tyranny in the U.S. But we have the internet. We've grown our numbers. The alternative media has exploded. That's why they're trying to move in to shut down and regulate and tax the web. But it's too late for them. They're playing in the 19th century, 20th century rules. It's the 21st century, the century of resistance to tyranny. And so it's going to be one hell of a fight with the people and free humanity on one side and the New World Order on the other. And every one of you out there counts, needs to be involved in this fight like nothing you've been involved with before, because this is life and death. Everything depends on exposing these people. Everything depends on showing the people that this is the New World Order, this is the criminals, we're dealing with the king rats here, the people that are carrying out tyranny worldwide, and either they fall or we fall. Either worldwide darkness and a new age of tyranny and oppression and with a scientific overlay, or a new age of liberty and freedom and a new renaissance. The choice is the people's out there. Okay, we can tell you what's going on. You can check it out for yourself and find out it's true. But don't wait. Investigate now. Get involved now. Go out there and reach out now. We don't have time. If you're looking for the solution, look in the mirror. Look right into the mirror, because you out there, men, women, old, young, black, white, doesn't matter. It's going to be up to you if they win or if liberty succeeds and the people have a chance of having any future. These are cold-blooded eugenicists. These are cold-blooded people who think they're God, think that they're our masters, that think that we're animals. These are the guys that funded Lenin and Stalin and Hitler and Mao. These are the guys, it's all on record, that bankroll this stuff. They are hardcore vicious, and they must be resisted.
You're watching The Obama Deception. We're going to go right back to the film in just a minute. But I wanted to take some time out in the middle of the film to encourage all of you that are watching it online right now to go to InfoWars.com and purchase a high-quality DVD of the film. Or you can go to PrisonPlanet.tv and download a high-quality DivX version to burn to disc or DVD to give to your friends, your family, your neighbor, and your community. I also want to challenge all the viewers out there to take time out to write notes as you watch this film and to check all the claims that we've made for yourself, because I'm confident in the information presented here. And I want you to not trust me, but to know for yourself, to know in fact that Obama is a betrayer and a liar, a Judas goat, a Trojan horse to bring in the one world government. So again, I want to thank you for watching The Obama Deception. You can go to InfoWars.com and get a high-quality DVD, or watch it in super high quality and burn disc to give your friends, your family, your neighbors, and warn the public at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now let's cut right back to The Obama Deception.
Up until about the Kennedy assassination and the beginning of the war in Vietnam, the United States is a very powerful engine for world progress. It's the assassinations, the Kennedy assassination, and the others in the 1960s, the beginning of the Vietnam War, and the beginning of the absolute domination of the Wall Street group over every other interest. Nobody else counts except the Wall Street money masters. That has now made the United States into no longer a force for progress, but something very different, often a force for destruction in the world. That doesn't need to remain that way. The interest of the American people is to fight to take your government back from Wall Street and make the United States a force for progress in the world, which we easily could do if we could just break the power of the people behind Obama.
The main banks of Europe, which were started by Adam Weishaupt and Rothschild, the Banque Nationale de Paris, the Bank of England, the Bank of Italy, have all financed the messianic and war leaders of the last 200 years. Napoleon, Lenin, Stalin. They backed Adolf Hitler. They backed Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And they are backing right now Barack Obama.
The banking cartel had established a beachhead in 1913 through the Federal Reserve Act. In 1947, they set up a parallel shadow government through the National Security Act. From 47 on, the national security state began the long process of absorbing federal and state bureaucracies, while at the same time undermining the constitutional power of Congress and dominating the executive branch. By controlling the issuance of currency and credit, the private Federal Reserve was able to buy up most of the Fortune 500. And if a company wouldn't sell, the bankers would unleash federal regulators to run them out of business. Private central banks in Europe, the United States, and England took taxpayer money and loaned it at over 30% interest to third world nations. The bankers would then bribe the leaders of those countries not to pay back the loans. Their third world puppets would sign agreements stating that when the country defaulted, the banks would be given all the natural resources and infrastructure of the once sovereign lands. But worst of all, the countries would pledge future taxes paid by the people in perpetuity as profit to the private banks. By the year 2000, there were few nations that had not fallen to the designs of the money power. The globalists were now ready to start their final phase of world government takeover. the destruction of the Western nations' economies. To carry out their final takeover, they first removed banking regulations like the Glass-Steagall Act in the late 1990s. This allowed their front companies to issue unlimited credit to the world and to set up colossal Ponzi schemes, the likes of which the world had never seen. The scams were advertised by the controlled corporate media as completely legitimate. Because of the fantastic returns, private investors, corporations, state and local governments invested heavily. They had taken the bait, hook, line, and sinker. To destroy confidence, in late 2007, the bankers themselves began to badmouth the scams they had created. Next, the central bankers cut off the tsunami of fiat money that they had been using to pump up the bubble. When Congress and the public refused to write the finance oligarchs a blank check, the bankers began to engage in financial terrorism. They said that the world would go into another Great Depression unless their demands were met, further destroying confidence. The stock market instantly had its biggest one-day loss in history, but even that wasn't enough to force Congress to capitulate to the offshore banks. Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma and Congressman Brad Sherman of California, amongst others, told the world that the entire Congress had been threatened with martial law by the White House and the Treasury Department if they didn't pass the so-called banker bailout bill.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering, unjustified.
The final version of the bill was kept secret from the Congress until minutes before the vote on October 3rd, 2008. The Federal Reserve had promised total transparency, that every dime would be accounted for.
To Democrats and Republicans who've opposed this plan, I say, step up to the plate. Let's do what's right for the country at this time, because the time to act is now. To prevent the possibility of a crisis turning into a catastrophe.
After its passage, the public learned with horror that the bill was really a financial coup d'etat by Wall Street. The bill didn't just give $700 billion to the banks. It was a blank check. And as of February 2009, $9.7 trillion has disappeared into a black hole. Within 24 hours of its passage, Secretary of Treasury Henry Paulson said they were no longer going to use the money to unfreeze the mortgage market by buying bad debt.
We went to Congress. Illiquid assets look like the way to go. As the situation worsened, the facts change. I will never apologize for changing an approach or strategy when the facts change.
Paulson has, in the meantime, admitted that the subprime mortgage crisis is not the cause, really, of the breakdown of the entire world banking system and the bankruptcy of most of the banks in London and in Wall Street. He said, oh, we're going to buy up toxic assets, but we're not going to worry about subprime mortgages. What he's talking about is derivatives. Derivatives are the center of the crisis.
He went on to say that where the money was going was a secret. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people, to whom it properly belongs. Thomas Jefferson, 3rd President of the United States.
Secretary Paulson came in with the Vice President and Fed Chairman Bernanke and made all these assurances that there was absolutely a critical, immediate need to get rid of the corrosive derivative products, you know, all the different names for this, you know, ubiquitous, you know, sub S retraded credit default swap, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But they talked about them as though they knew what the hell they were. You got the money and you immediately said, what items, what auction?
Now, the Treasury just basically cut that out of the bill. And what, you know, what we have here is a situation where banks are hoarding the money that they're getting from the TARP. They're using the money to purchase other banks. And all of a sudden, the Treasury sent a signal to the banks, forget about it. We're going to give you the money that you want, and you do what you want with it. Unless you direct it specifically, it's not going to happen. I don't think anyone questions, Mr. Kashkari, that you're working hard. Our question is who you're working for.
Throughout its passage, President Bush and Senator Obama worked in tandem to get Congress to pass the bill without even having time to read it, despite the fact that in major polls, 98% of the American people were against the bill. The leadership in both parties were for it.
And I really want to commend Barack Obama, because as we were involved in the this and that and different provisions of the bill to persuade people, he really gave them confidence that this was the right decision for the American people, even though it wasn't, in our view, a great bill for them to vote on.
I want to take a particular moment to also thank an individual who's not here, and that is Barack Obama, who made numerous calls not only to all of us, but to members of our caucus and helped us gather the votes on the Democratic side to pass this legislation.
Bank heads then bragged to the press that they were hoarding the bailout money and using it to buy up smaller, healthy banks and insurance companies. Their plan was working like a charm. Next, the central bankers loaned the federal government back $787 billion of our own money at interest for President Obama's so-called stimulus package. And just like the banker bailout, Congress was given less than an hour to read the 1,070-page-plus stimulus bill. Barack Obama, who had pledged on the campaign trail to wait 5 days before a bill could be voted on so that the Congress and the people could have a chance to read it, said that the stimulus was too important and it had to be passed before anybody could see it or read it, or the crisis would turn into a catastrophe.
Doing little or nothing at all will result in even greater deficits, even greater job loss, even greater loss of income, and even greater loss of confidence. Those are deficits that could turn a crisis into a catastrophe, and I refuse to let that happen.
After it's...
All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Just download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet, and podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right with us. We're going to go for commercial breaks, and then we'll come back with the final half hour of the Obama deception, heard exclusively on Point West on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Slid deeper into depression. The bankers celebrated the fire sale that they had created.
I believe this the phrase.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
Attention, Central Ohio! Attention, Central Ohio! Lenco Realty has an important announcement to make.
Effective immediately, we will sell your home for 5%. Yes, 5% commission. You will get the same great service we have provided for over 35 years. Hurry and call Lenco today. at 614-375-2289. We have buyers for all areas. Call today, 614-375-2289. 614-375-2289. You'll be glad you did.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, King Lincoln District.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dog fighting in America. More than a quarter of a million dogs are placed into fighting pits each year. I'm Wayne Pacelli, president of the Humane Society of the United States. If you think staged animal fights have no place in our communities, then join us in the fight now. We're going to put dog fighting out of business once and for all. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
A message from the Humane Society of the United States. Learn more at humanesociety.org.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment, with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at TalkTainmentRadio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power.
You are the power.
Right here on TalkTainment Radio.
All righty. We're going to the last half of the documentary. You can also get on YouTube. It's the Obama deception. And you've heard for the last almost 90 minutes what is surrounding and how Barack Obama is controlled by the global elite, saying one thing but doing something else. And we're going to wrap that up, or the last, like I said, the last half hour. All this exclusively here on Point West, exclusively heard on TalkTainmentRadio.com. You're welcome to call in at 1-877-932-9766. I know this is hard for some people to hear it, but you have to look at it and examine the truth of it and see if there's any merit to what's being said. Maybe you don't think so. Certainly your opinions are welcome, you know, to state what what you think about what actually has happened and goes on to continue to happen. So, again, we're going to do the second half, or rather the last half hour or 20 minutes, you know, of the talk, so that you can get a clear perspective on what is happening, what has been happening, and how the wool has been pulled over your eyes. Yes, you don't want to drink that coffee, not at all. You want to be informed to know what's going on.
Parties. As the world slid deeper into depression, the bankers celebrated the fire sale that they had created.
I believe the phrase burdens of the office is overstated.
You know, it's kind of like, why me? The burdens, you know. Why did the financial collapse have to happen on my watch? It's just pathetic, isn't it? Self-pity. And I don't believe President-elect Obama will be full of self-pity.
With their access to unlimited fiat capital, they could now buy up sectors of the world economy not already controlled by them. For over a century, the Anglo-American establishment had worked to bring the world system to this point. Artificially engineered global bankruptcy. In an address before the Trilateral Commission in June of 1991, David Rockefeller laid out the elite's ultimate goal, the supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in the last centuries. Now that the bankers were holding the world hostage, they issued their ultimatum. The only solution to restart the global economy would be to set up a planetary government ruled by a new bank of the world, a bank of the world owned and controlled by them. Suddenly, hundreds of prominent publications announced the solution, the people's only salvation. Time magazine, in an article titled The New World Order, said that the new superbank would control the world's currencies and set interest rates, and that the new bank would, quote, knock the heads of bad countries like the United States. At a meeting of central bank heads and finance ministers dubbed Bretton Woods II, the plan for world government was unveiled by the very bankers that had engineered the collapse. Formerly sovereign countries would now pay their taxes directly to the banking cartel. Hundreds of new carbon taxes, controlling every facet of human activity, would only be the beginning. Now, all the elite had to do was to sell the public on accepting the final phase of their takeover. And it's Obama's job to sucker the public into standing down so the banker's agenda can move forward unhindered. Never before in U.S. history has the media gotten behind a president like they are behind Obama. The press has pulled out all the stops, bestowing a crown of infallibility upon Obama. As the savior of the people, the elite are betting everything they've got on Obama's charisma and hoping that he can sell the world on their program of tyranny.
Yes, there have been differences between America and Europe. No doubt there will be differences in the future. But the burdens of global citizenship continue to bind us together. A change of leadership in Washington will not lift this burden. In this new century, Americans and Europeans alike will be required to do more, not less. Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
In truth, Obama is not simply continuing George W. Bush's policies. He is radically expanding them.
I thank President Bush for his service to our nation.
This film has documented the painful fact that Barack Obama's agenda is the complete opposite of what he has claimed it to be. Now we will reveal what Barack Obama and his controllers' true agenda is. Number one, bring the United States under the complete regulatory control of a private offshore superbank known as the Bank of the World. More than 100 new taxes are now being developed under the umbrella of curbing greenhouse gases. The new taxes will be paid directly to the private bank consortium. At the producer level, taxes will be paid on farm animals' flatulence. At the consumer level, there will be carbon taxes on all forms of meat, beef, poultry, pork, and fish. All cars will be fitted with satellite tracking boxes that will tax driving by the mile. And an added tax will be placed on all fossil fuels, including motor oil and natural gas. All plastic products will have a carbon tax added. Outdoor space heaters and fireplaces are to be taxed. All electricity produced by coal-powered plants will be taxed. Under the cap-and-trade system, citizens will be forced to pay taxes on thousands of products to private cap-and-trade services owned by Al Gore and other elitists. There will be taxes on light bulbs, water, trash pickup, air travel, train travel, bus, ship, medicine, steel production, mining, clothing, laundry, asphalt are just a few of the new taxes to be levied.
But to truly transform our economy, to protect our security and save our planet from the ravages of climate change, we need to ultimately make clean, renewable energy the profitable kind of energy. So I ask this Congress to send me legislation that places a market-based cap on carbon pollution and drives the production of more renewable energy in America. That's what we need.
The notion of anthropogenic global warming is a fraud. In other words, the idea that the planet is getting warmer and that human activity is somehow responsible is a pseudoscientific fraud. It's a big lie. It's a monstrosity. Remember the Nazis, they had race science, race hygiene. They said Aryan blood is different from any other kind of blood. This was, of course, idiocy, a fantastic piece of nonsense. Today, we've got something similar. Global warming caused by human activity, and the answer to that is carbon tax plus cap and trade, according to the wishes of Al Gore, Prince Charles, and basically the entire world banking community, the world oligarchy. What they're trying to do with that is to perpetuate the current system where bankers rule the world, financiers rule the world, and the rest of us get the crumbs from the table. But remember, if you try to put on cap and trade and a global warming carbon tax with the idea that you're going to save the polar bears, what you're going to do is destroy human society. You're going to cause genocide on a massive scale.
You're listening to The Obama Deception, heard exclusively on Point West via TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Poorer parts of Southeast Asia, and no world economic recovery of any kind ever in our entire lifetime. So it's important to expose and fight the pseudoscientific fraud of global warming. One more point about this. You don't need a climatologist to know that this stuff is a fraud. I'm a historian. I can tell you, in the last 1,000 years, we had a period of very warm temperatures called the medieval warm period, where all kinds of grapes and semi-tropical stuff were growing very far into the northern hemisphere. That was about 1100, 1200. It happened to correspond with an all-time maximum of sunspots. Right now, we can say that we're going into another maximum period, well, there'll be some warming, but we're well within the limits of the medieval warm period. About 1600 to 1650, there was an ice age in northern Europe. The North Sea was filled with ice. The German and Dutch ports and the English ports were filled with ice. That corresponds to an all-time minimum of sunspot activity, the Spurer minimum and the Maunder minimum. So this has largely got to do with solar activity. We can see that other planets, not just the Earth, are warming slightly as a result of increased solar activity. But we're well within the minimum. So what the oligarchs claim to be an open and shut scientific case is a piece of pseudoscientific nonsense, and it should be rejected.
Number two, the social engineers are fully aware that the Obama craze will wear off quickly. So they are racing to put in place the most oppressive police state control grid in human history. 20,000 battle-hardened regular army troops are now being deployed to patrol the streets of the United States. FEMA is now building giant camps in every region of the country, and the Congress has introduced bills like the National Emergency Centers Act, H.R. 645, which merges local governments and the police under federal control.
And as we all know that have watched these things, they're ready for the riots. With these detention centers that are being opened up around the country, with state police training for riot control in the event of economic calamity and food riots, they know what's going on, and they're prepared for it. So people better also prepare for it themselves. Anyone that's not prepared for what's going to happen, they deserve what they get, because there's enough information out there pointing to the problems, and they should take all precautionary actions.
Next, Obama ordered the Defense Department to issue DOD Directive 1404.10, establishing a 1 million person civilian army under his control. Simultaneously, Obama launched USAservice.org. The new website deceptively masquerades as a federal agency, but in reality is a recruiting tool building a separate, completely private army outside of government that takes orders directly from Obama's controllers. Barack Obama has refused to rescind Presidential Decision Directive 51, signed by George W. Bush. The directive plainly states the president is a dictator and that Congress is ceremonial.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
President Obama and his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, have repeatedly stated on the record that all Americans below the age of 64 will be forcibly conscripted into federal service.
Citizenship is not an entitlement program. It comes with responsibilities. Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense.
Now, it doesn't always have to be service in uniform. One of the things that if you talk to our generals, they are desperate for is a civilian counterpart to our military forces.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in a sense, it's a required of everybody, 18 to 25, 3 months. And at some point at that point, you do it. Obviously, I'm not going to say perfect legislation. We'll work that process through.
You can do it during a college summer. Right. Or you can do it after
anytime.
High school.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
Obama's transition site, change.gov, proclaimed that middle school and high school students will be forced to serve the federal government.
Fascism is gutter up, streets up, hooligans, thugs, fervently idealistic students, swarming adolescents, just the kind of thing you see around Obama. The way you get a population to enslave itself when the police and the army are no longer enough to do that. So I think if you're a left liberal, it's time to open your eyes to that.
All young Americans between the ages of 18 and 24 will be conscripted into a paramilitary domestic security force. If Obama has his way, adults and seniors will also be forced into other forms of service for the betterment of the homeland. Number 3, disarming the American people. Obama operatives in the Congress have introduced more than 10 bills that would end the Second Amendment as we know it. H.R. 1022 would allow the new Attorney General Eric Holder the dictatorial power to ban any gun he wishes at will. In 2008, before the Supreme Court, in the D.C. gun ban case, District of Columbia versus Heller, Holder argued for the complete disarmament of the American people and that only the military should own firearms. H.R. 257 would ban all youth Olympic shooting clubs.
Okay, you've been listening to The Obama Deception, heard exclusively here on Point West, talktainmentradio.com. You heard some very interesting points that the narrator had to say about that. What are your thoughts on that? In the remaining few moments that we have here, 877-932-9766 is the number that you can call right now. Phone lines are now open. What do you think about that, you know, that you've had a chance to really hear what Mr. Barack Obama had to say here? I think we have a line ringing now. Let's see if we can get that there. Yeah, and find out what's going on. Yeah, okay. But this is why we wanted to present it, to get your opinion, to make you aware of what's been going on, and so that you can see and understand how this thing really works. Okay, we have a caller here. Okay, go ahead, caller. What are your thoughts on some of the things that you've heard said here?
First of all, Mr. Bobby, you got to understand something. People that hear the information still aren't going to believe it. Everybody was gung-ho that this country had voted in a black president, which he was not the first black president of this country.
Correct.
He has done nothing for black people except scam and deceit, which we just heard about on your program here. It's all true. People don't want to believe it. They're not going to believe it, no matter how much we show them the evidence. They have to come to the conclusion on their own.
Why do you think they don't believe it? I'm just curious.
Because they're sheep. Sheep do as they're told. This country has been so brainwashed and dumbed down to the fact that people no longer think for themselves.
Yes.
They watch this orchestrated news and take that as, excuse the term, gospel.
Yes.
And it's not.
Yes, I agree with you, caller, because there's just so much going on, and I didn't want to believe it either. But when I checked out the evidence, you know,
right?
I mean, I was hurt, but I mean, it's the truth, man. Remind me of the Wizard of Oz. You have an unseen people behind the hand, and as a matter of fact, behind the scenes, there's a book called The Unseen Hand by Dr. Ralph Upperman. That speaks about the unseen hand that's controlling everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you ever want to know the truth, follow the money.
Yes. Yes. Follow the money. All right, my brother. I really appreciate you calling in and supporting the show. Don't be a stranger here on Point West. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. 1-877-932-9766 is the number. We had about 2 minutes before I'm getting kicked out of here, 2 or 3 minutes. But, yeah, this is what we try to expose, different things that are coming up. Some shows that are upcoming, if we can get them on here, are All Wars, our Bankers Wars. We're going to do that show or attempt to do that. And then we're going to give an excerpt about the real message behind Jeremiah Wright. What he said, goddamn America. The news media only showed you a portion of it, but we're going to show you the entire, I think it's 7 or 8 minute speech that Jeremiah Wright said, so that we can put it in the proper perspective, because people want you to only look at a certain thing. There are certain forces that are in play behind that. So we want to expose that. And any other show that you may want us to do or something that you would like for us to talk about, you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, and we will effort to do our research and effort to get that on and maybe have you on so that we can have a dialogue and speak about that as we are developing this particular program called Point West here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. I'd like to thank my producers and my engineers who have helped me along to get this program on the air. We were a little late going on this morning. That's why we are a little bit over. But we do thank you. We thank you for listening. We thank you for your phone calls and messages of support of this program, Point West, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. As a matter of fact, let me do this. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and radio the way it should be heard. We will see you next week here on Point West on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. Thank you. Thank you for calling Point West, TalkTainmentRadio.com. We'll be right back.
the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.